Okay. So before we start, just a couple of comments about feedback. So I've changed a couple of things now compared to before because of feedback I've gotten from you. Well, actually, I don't think any of you, probably the ones who never show up but look at the video. So, so number one is that I had put a little bit too short duration, so sometimes the video recording would stop before I stopped talking. I'm just too optimistic, thinking I'm going to be able to finalize before top of the hour, and sometimes I'm not. So I've extended that period a little bit. And next thing is that I got this tool. Did Dipti bring hers? Yeah. So now, so that was also again because I was pointing here, and on the video you couldn't see what I was pointing at, but now I can point. The nice thing about this story is that I don't know if Dipti told you, but the nice thing has something to do with consistency and redundancy. So I put in an order for this one because of the feedback. And how many do I think I got? One, two, three, four, five? I got two. One was in my office the other day. I was happy. Oh, it was quick. And then next day in my mailbox, there was another one. I put in just one order, but we have two sets of secretaries, two sets of administrative staff, one local and one in Trondheim, and they both picked up, "Oh, he needs one of those. Okay, let's order one." So I got two. So now Dipti has one and I have one. So that's good. So again, consistency, redundancy, keep one line, then it makes it easier to maintain. So, yeah, okay. What we wanted to say here is that the mandatory in AND. That's what you need to do now. So subclassing you know from before. What you need to do specifically now is to think about the constraints. And mandatory in AND. Now the question is, will it always be clear from the customer which it's going to be? Will it always be clear from your assignments? Will it always be clear in the exam question? No, it won't always. So what you need to do is that you need to interpret, because this is about communication. A good thing here is it will help us clarify. And if it's not clear, we have to say, "Oh, by the way, we believe that there are no other users than these two." That's what mandatory means. There are no other types of users. Either you are hired as a staff or you are a student. You could possibly be both because we support that case. And optional, we do have staff that is not researchers or lecturers, but we don't have, and we do have researchers that also lecture, and lecturers may also research, so they can be both. We have other alternatives as well. Then, student, as we said, a student will either be bachelor student or master student or PhD student. And there are no other types of students. You have to be one of those, not all of them. And finally, staff. We have potential hired staff that's not permanent or contractual. But if it's one of them, it's just one of them. It can't be both permanent and contractual. But there may be other types of contracts as well, or types of positions as well in these two. So that's how this all ended out. Now, let's work on this a little bit more. So in the very simple case here, we say that staff member, mandatory means it must be one of the two, and or means that it has to be either one or the other. Can't be both, exclusively one. Then, let's bring up Menti. So if we change these semantics now and say that rather than the mandatory or, we make it an optional or, then which statement is then correct? So let me see if I can bring up the next question. Which statement is correct? We have four alternatives, just one of them would be correct. member, maybe either full or part-time. Now, a member must be neither. That would mean that would just be the super class, I guess, the interpretation. We have no way of saying that. It can just be a question. But either means, no clue. I think it's these weren't programmers. You will see that in PLSQL as well. I mean, if you stored procedures, did they talk about stored procedures? Stored procedures, the program, the SQL, doesn't look like been designed by a programmer. I mean, designed by some database people. So I just think it's that they work in a different setting and have a different vocabulary. And this is closer to the user. So the user will think of, is this or this? But it can be in that and that and that. So it kind of communicates better probably with the general user, end user, than with designers and programmers. A member staff may be full and part-time. Nope. We one or the other, that's what it means. Has to be at least part-time. No, we have no way of expressing that either. So it's either. That's the interpretation we should give to this. Now, we have here a different hierarchy where we have a reader on top. A reader has name and address and then a reader number, which is the primary key. And students are readers and staff are readers. So that would probably mean that they can go to the library and lend books, register books. Optional and, which means that there are readers that aren't students or aren't staff. There are some other people that can come to the library and have a book. Student will have to be either a taught student, or which means that they sign up for at least one course, or a research student, which is here just to do research. Or means exclusive, can't be both, mandatory, has to be one of them. And then staff would be supervising the research students. Again, which of these statements are true? A reader could be both student and staff. A student could be taught and research. Well, it says or here. Or means it's either taught or a research student, so it couldn't be both. Even though, as you were suggesting, or seems as the more natural one, because it could be one or the other. But or, it means exclusive or. So that's... That's how it's defined. So, one suggestion when you get to at least the exam and everywhere else, when you get to the point you don't remember how was it here. Remember, this is about communication. So, if you write, this is how I interpret or in my drawing, and you are consistent with what you write. Whoever will be reading this will say, oh, he didn't know the difference or she didn't know the difference. But anyway, I understand what he's trying to tell me. So that's what's important, that you are consistent, you don't mix the two, because then it's all just confusing, and that you make it clear. So again, it's about communication. So if you are in doubt on anything, that's why on the exam questions they say that you should state any assumptions. That's your choice to describe if you are in doubt. you use the concept correctly, but you are in doubt of how they define and or which way the you are to read the directions of the arrows and everything, just put it down. And if you know, then that's going to be, that's how we interpret. But then if you break it, if you mess up and you change direction and you change your interpretation, then you're in trouble. But, yeah. So this was the first, and then the second. Same example, different questions. Have a look at them, think of them. So, research student must be supervised by up to 3 staff. So, if we look at that's the majority, is this correct? Well, it says here that research student needs to be supervised. It says 1 to 3. So that's how we read this arrow. Staff may supervise taught students. Taught student is here. There is no relationship here. And there's no relationship to the student that is inherited. So since taught student doesn't have direct one, doesn't inherit one, then it's that's not the way we interpret this. Research student is a subclass of staff. Staff is here. So this is one subclass branch. Another subclass branch goes here. The only link between research student and staff will be the supervisor. So research student is not a subclass, but it has a relationship to staff, but it's not a subclass. So a research student is not staff, according to this model. According to a model, another model, it could have been. I mean, you say, okay, we hire research students, but again, what we're trying to interpret is what's on this diagram, not how other cases will be. So we are trying in these diagrams to design and describe the one actual setting. And again, it might be that we, through communication, start saying, hey, no, yeah, I mean, our research students are hired, and then we're going to have an arrow from research students to staff as well. So that will be, as we said, as we work on the model, you may both specialize and generalize. You may find that, oh, actually, research student is staff. So it belongs to a department, and he is hired, so we should have a link there as well, or an inheritance there as well. So I hope that what you are getting is that this is typically something that we need to do iteratively. We need to try to understand and come up with what we think would be the best model. And then if we are unsure, we try to eliminate the alternative models and interpretations, because we need to make sure that this is what really the user wants, because our system is going to be based on this. So if we misunderstand the customer, after we developed everything, the customer on the acceptance test says, no, this is not what I wanted. And then it doesn't help to say, oh, this is what you explained me. If you didn't understand what he was trying to say, then it doesn't help. So this is important to use these models to clarify as early as possible, clarify potential interpretations and clarify the real needs. Yeah, so this is basically what we went through. Now, in this library model, we have a book, we have copies of a book, and the reader has Dipti talked a lot about this construct, that a reader is not borrowing a book, but borrowing a book copy. And difference between a book and a copy of a book, did you talk about that? Because that's kind of an important thing. So in the library, what is a book? Well, it's both an abstract thing. I mean, it's the book with the title, and you have 7 copies of it. The publishing date, the title of the book, the number of pages would be the same for all copies. So that's typically what we have here as the book. These are the things that are common to all copies. But when you borrow a book, you borrow a copy of a book. And a copy of a book that might be worn, it may lack some pages, you may lose it, so it may be disappeared. So sometimes when we model, it's very important to try to, this is a kind of different type of generalization. So you have the copy of a book versus the book. So it could possibly also be something that you kind of say would be an inheritance. So a copy of a book can inherit the book. So that might be another way to, but typically we think of book as being something abstract and the copy being the things that you borrow. Anyway, so we a reader can borrow a book copy, and here we have the date for the when you borrow the book and when you're supposed to return it. So this is the standard ER. And then we start to say, okay, now through our design, we found that it makes sense to separate between the types of readers. Maybe the student have shorter time. Maybe students are not allowed to keep books for half a year. Maybe staff would be allowed to lend the book for longer time than the ordinary. So maybe that we need to distinguish between the two types of readers, and that part would then typically be down here. So EER is nothing very different. It's just a part of our vocabulary. It helps us to add some of the semantics and helps us to simplify our schemas and be more specific, because we could do the same thing without subclassing. But if you try it, you're going to find that the actual diagram looks more complex, and you need to have a lot of text to support the semantics, the interpretation, as I said. Yeah. Here, more examples. Staff with the staff number. And what does optional or mean? If you go for optional first, means that there is staff that's not necessarily supervisor or manager. It could be something else. Or means that, yeah, can't be both. You have to be one of them. In the dream home example, the owner could be a private owner or a business owner. It will have to be one of them. There are no other types, but it could be when it has to be exclusive. Either it's a business or it's a private. Either a company owns this or the property, or it's a private person. So we know whether it's through a company, because then you have the company number being recorded, or you own it as a personal property. And again, you should be used to the subclassing, meaning that these attributes here, address and telephone number, you don't have to specify them on the subclasses because they're inherited. And there should be an owner was maybe higher up, because there should be a here it comes interesting, the primary key here, because it doesn't inherit the primary key here, because it doesn't have a common primary key. Because either they are businesses, and they have a business number, which makes it hard then to associate these guys over here. So the property for rent, you want to say who is the owner, and then it will sometimes be this primary key and sometimes this primary key. It's not the most convenient. But as I said, this is what you have to sort out next time when you do implement this in a relational database. You have to work out this anyway. So the thing here is that they don't have the same type of primary key, two different ones. So that's why it's mandatory. Because if it wasn't mandatory, if it was optional, then there might be some owners up here. We don't have a primary key. And if they don't have the primary key, we couldn't say that they couldn't own properties because we couldn't have relations to them since they don't have a primary key. You follow me? So this is about how to interpret the case. And as next week, you have to work out how this will look like in the database. Because in the database, all tables need primary keys. So you need, if this one is to be an actual table, then you have to have a primary key. Question? Yeah, that's interesting. Very good question. So the question here is the supervisor doesn't have any attributes. And if it doesn't have any attributes or special relationships, you don't need it. But this one has a relationship that this one doesn't have. So because of this relationship, it makes sense. But if it didn't have, then it's just confusing the model. Then you could say that it's just optional anyway. You didn't need to have to. Then you may have a flag up here saying whether it's a supervisor or not. Question? Yeah, so the question is, because what you could do is that you could remove supervisor and you could have a relation here, a recursive relation from staff to staff. But what we lack then is to say that only supervisors can supervise other staff. Then any staff could supervise. But what we say here is only those who are supervisors could actually supervise other ones. If you put it as a recursive one and delete the supervisor, then we basically say anyone can supervise. And if you want to be specific, saying no, just supervisors can actually be involved in the supervision, then this will be the way to do it. So again, it depends on semantics. But very good question, yes. And I fully agree, if there was no supervisors relation here, then you would definitely say, this is just wasted space. We can, rather than, if it's important to know whether a supervisor or not, then why not just put a flag here? Say, yeah, he's supervisor. Yes or no? That would be easier. Very good question. So as we're seeing, the basic looks quite simple, but in reality, we start having all this, okay, should we do this or that, and what does it mean, what is the implication? So it makes time, it makes sense to spend time on practicing and trying to get the feeling and trying to see what the consequences would be. So here we have the person subclass, so person. And a person will have to be staff, private owner, or client. And it can't be multiple, just one of them. And staff, maybe supervisor, maybe manager, can only be one of them. So that's how to interpret this. And again, it's important to tell the customer, this is what this means. Are you sure that there are no supervisors that can also be managers? Because this now, you're saying that this will never happen, and you would design accordingly, which may have some consequences if you later say, actually, no. It is possible to have multiple inheritance. So sales manager, maybe a manager, maybe a salesperson. As I was saying before, there are some programming languages that only support single inheritance, not multiple inheritance, but UML and our modeling here will allow for it. So we can possibly do that. And if you have only one subclass, like here, optional, and one here, optional, you don't have to say whether it's exclusive or not, because I mean, you have just one. So it couldn't be a bit much of a problem. So you could just eliminate it. So for now, or I mean, if you put in or, it will correct, and it will correct, but you can also just drop it because it doesn't add any semantics. And in these models, I'm hoping that you're sensing that the one thing we are aiming at is simplicity, something that communicates as closely as possible with as few boxes and lines and text as possible. So it's clear and it's easy to understand, but it's also quite consistent and precise. Yeah, so this is a comment to your question. So subclasses are only needed when they are structurally different. And structurally different, we say they either have attributes, and we were seeing that the previous example that we talked about didn't have it, but since it had a separate relationship, we consider it structurally different anyway. So for instance, moderators, they may not have in a social network, moderators for a discussion board, moderators may not have any attributes, but they have a number of lists that they moderate. So we need to know which list they moderate. And only moderators can be on that list. So then it makes sense to have this. Or we can have flags, enumerations, or you can have a separate table that shows possible values, like a drop-down list of values. As the alternatives, we don't have to use subclasses, even though it might be a subclass in real life. If it doesn't simplify your model, we don't need to use it. It's just a tool to help us communicate some semantics in an efficient way. Now, a museum. We have a collection of art objects. And if there are paintings or sculptures or textile arts, we will have some special attributes for those. And then the question is, what are the constraints? The participation constraint and the disjoint constraint. You think about it, and when you've thought about it, you choose. And then we'll see what you think. And it may be, I didn't say, but it may be that besides these dots, there may be relationships as well. You just simplify it, saying there's something special about these. They may be part of some relationships, or they may be, or they may have some other attributes. Mandatory or. Let's start with the. Let's start with mandatory and, which has the fewest votes. Mandatory and means that there is nothing else. There are no other types of art than painting, sculpture, and textile art. So what then if somebody has a multimedia exhibition? Or what if somebody has some other digital artifacts, some VR artifacts? It wouldn't be painting, it wouldn't be sculpture, it wouldn't be textile art, it would be something else. So mandatory seems to be a little bit strict. Because I would think there are other types of artwork than just these three. So, do you agree with me? It's a bit strict to be mandatory? Question? Very good comment. If we go to the text, so this is about interpretation, and this is what I really want you to learn is that there is not necessarily a correct answer. It depends, and that's why it's so important that we don't just put this up and go ahead. We need to talk to the customer. Is this really what you mean? So it says it has a collection, and it says that for painting, sculptures, and textile art, it has special attributes. It doesn't say about the rest. It would be my interpretation. So at the best, you could say, oh, they should say, and by the way, we do have other types as well, but for those, we just have the general attributes. If they said, then it would be easy. Then we would understand what they meant. But as it is right now, yeah, it is open for discussion. Do they mean that these are only three things, or do they mean that these are only three things they have special attributes for? It doesn't say clearly. It just says that at least we know that these three are the ones. And my general approach would be as general as possible. Don't be too restrictive. If they don't say that these are the only three, don't make it into the only three. That would be my recommendation. But absolutely, very valid point. It only specifies three, so it's very. It seems quite natural to go for mandatory. But at the same time, mandatory is a bit restrictive, and I would think that many museums have other types of artifacts that they would like to show. So it would be. So optional, and is the one with least votes of those two. So what does optional mean? It means that there are something that aren't, and means that it can be both painting and sculpture and textile art. Yeah, I guess we need to talk to the conservatists working at the museum to say whether it would. But if you put textile art on the sculpture, what is it? Is it a mix or what is it? Yeah, it's open for discussion. But I would tend to think that in this case, one of them would make more sense. I mean, you have sculpture, and they're clearly different from textile. And then you have paintings, as are very different from textile art and sculpture. And if you have mixes, maybe they are compositions. So maybe we need something composition. And the composition could be more of those, plus others, in a larger composition, which is not a special type, it's a composition of known types. You see, it seems easy, but it's not. I mean, you get into all these semantics, what do they really mean? And it's not so much about the actual subclass and the mechanics. It's more about what makes sense. How is the customer viewing their collections, and how are they thinking about their objects? And that's what we represent. And if we make the right or wrong choices here, we're going to have a system that doesn't allow them to do what they think is obvious to them, because the database doesn't support. That's why this is very important. I'm not saying that some of these are wrong. I don't say that any of you have wrong here. It's just that we interpret these differently, and my interpretation isn't necessarily more correct, because we need to talk to this customer to say. And that's why I think it's very good to see that there is actually a distribution there, because it is up to the customer or a discussion with the customer. So, in another case, buildings. So we have buildings, and in civil engineering plans, in the city plans, they have rural area or they have residential areas where people live, and they have business areas where there are businesses. And so, let's say in those plans, we need to classify a building as either a residential building or an office building if there are commercial activities happening in the building. So then we know for a building, is this a residential building? Is this a business building? Meaning, is it legal to do commercial activities, have commercial activities in the building? And again, seems like a simple case. Is it a simple case? You tell me. I like it, and I hope you like it too. See that things that seem like an easy question doesn't necessarily have one correct answer, and this definitely apply to your second question in your exam, which is about modeling. There is no one correct answer, but there are quite a few wrong ones. And the best thing you can do is, as we started doing here, interpret. Try to write, how do you interpret what is being specified? Because it may be that our textual description is vague, and if several of you would say, oh, I understand this way, then we say, that was actually our fault. It was bad wording from our side. It's not that you didn't understand. It was bad wording. But if you don't say why you interpret that way, it could be quite harder. So if you are in doubt how to interpret, write it down. And this is not about the exam, because this also is the right approach if you have a customer. If you have a customer and you have a model and you are in doubt, try to model it and tell the customer, what is the implication? What does this mean? What are the limitations now that they will be seeing? What are the possibilities? And only then will they know for sure. Okay, so let's start. Mandatory or is the one with the fewest votes. Mandatory means that it will have to be one of those two buildings. And I think that makes sense in a plan. You would like to know whether it's a residential building or it's an office building. These are the only two choices. So I think that makes sense. Meaning, does it have to be residential building or office building? Would it have to be exclusive? What about those buildings where there are stores in the first floor and there are apartments in the second and third and fourth and fifth and 16th floor? I think mix makes sense, but it depends. Maybe they say, okay, yeah, but you may have apartments in office buildings. Okay, so that's how they define the use of office buildings. So we couldn't say for sure, but that would, I mean, we need to think about the cases. What are the cases that we will not be able to implement if we are too strict or with one of the one of our choices? So I tend to say that maybe it's and. I would favor and. I would favor mandatory, but we don't know for sure. So mandatory and, absolutely. That's what the one I would go with. Mandatory, yeah, we had to be one of them. And it could be both, or it has to be at least one. Optional, well, then that means that there would be other buildings. Question. Sorry? A museum, but again, it could be a museum, it could be a school, a public building. Is a public building an office building? Yes, no. Okay, maybe we say public building are different. Okay, then we have public buildings, and then maybe not. But in my sense, it's either museum is commercial activity, school is commercial activity, paid for by the government. So in my definition, I could say that it could probably do, but absolutely, it could be public buildings, it could be community buildings. What then if somebody owns a property as a community and they put up a building there? It's not really private ownership, it's not really office. So, yeah, the devil is in the details. That's the bottom line here. So we have to kind of step on through, what does this mean? If you do this, what does this mean? What could we have these kind of buildings? Could we have these kind of relationships? Could this be possible? So you favor optional and, meaning that anything is allowed. It could be a building, it could be a resident building, it could be an office building, it could be everything and nothing. So that's the most flexible. That has the fewest restrictions, which also means that if a domain is more restrictive, then this may break down. Yes, very good. I don't think we're gonna. Let me just see my schedule. One more. This is this. We need to do this. Why is this poor design? I am a rock climber. I should show you some of the. Next time I'll show you some of the pictures I took in the summer when I was up in the mountains. And in climbing, There are two types of routes people climb. Either it's the real thing, I should say. It's the one called tread route. It's up in the mountains. You hike for 4 hours, and then you climb a little bit, and then you have 4 hours back home. There are these sports people who they drive to the crag, and they climb for 4 hours, and they are tired, and they drive home. So we have two types of routes, tread routes, sports route, and the climbing route has an ID. They all have grades, they all have lengths, could be from 15 to 1200 meters, and the routes are in the climbing area. It could be a mountain, or it could be a crag. And we say that it's mandatory because a climbing route is either a tread route or a sports route. And it can't be both. That's what we say. And I'm suggesting that this is poor design. And the final question of the day is, why is this poor design? Oops. Now you need to write in some text. Okay, so I should probably say that it's not necessarily poor design by itself, but there are something to watch out for, and that's exactly the thing. There may not be need for subclasses. Why is that? Well, if you look at it, it's just two types of routes, yeah? They have no attributes, they have no relationships, they just happen to be two different routes. So why don't we just put in a flag saying whether it's sports or trad? One simple attribute up here. You agree with me that if you say is sports route flag up here, that would simplify the model? Because you get rid of all this down here and just a flag, and we have to write in the spec how that is to be interpreted? Yes, but that's it. So it will be much simpler. And we favor simplicity. Now then, time is up. So what we'll do on Thursday is to go through the two cases. So I would ask you to use the couple of hours Thursday before we meet to go through the two cases. They are in the slide sets that are uploaded. At the very end, there are two cases. Go through and try to make your own models, because then you're going to learn more from when we discuss the models and the specifics and the alternatives here. And then we continue talking about quality of models, but that's on Thursday. Thank you.